All right, Shavuot, say good morning. So today's daf is, thank you, Menachem. Today's daf is Tes Zayin. We are picking up on Tes Vav Amud Beis. Menachem, you know what, can you leave that door a little bit open? Just there's some air that comes in.
Ari said no.
Oh, Ari said, what if I keep the door? Not even that much. It doesn't even have to be that much. Good. A little bit more. Perfect. All right, Shavuot, say, so again, so we're picking up, today's daf is Tes Zayin, so we're picking up Tes Vav Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, we're picking up actually Tanya Idach. So again, three lines up from the bottom. Tanya Idach. So another brisa that supports this idea. O min ha'afar asher yihiyah. So remember, the pasuk says that for soto you shall go ahead and you shall take from the dirt that is within the mishkan. This teaches us that you would prepare, remember also we're talking about the dirt over here of the Mishkan, that you would go ahead and take the dirt from outside. Remember, this is another braisa. You would take the dirt from the outside and you would bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say this stands in contradistinction to what we learned yesterday. Because yesterday the focus was that on the dirt must come from within the Mishkan itself. So today the Gemara is suggesting, according to this braisa, that you could actually bring the dirt from the outside, umachnis, and you bring it in. Bekarka ha-Mishkan. So what does it mean again when it says Bekarka ha-Mishkan on the floor of the Mishkan? Isi ben Yehuda Omer. So Isi ben Yehuda says, Lahavi karka shilo nov v'givon obeis ha'olamim. So we'll say, Bekarka ha-Mishkan comes to teach us that what? That this concept of taking the dirt from the floor of the temple applies to Shiloh, Nov, and Givon. Remember, Shiloh, Nov, and Givon were the locations where the Mishkan was housed before the Beis HaMikdash. Before the Beis HaMikdash was built, Ubeis HaLam and the Beis HaMikdash as well. So essentially, in any structure that served as the central place for worship, for Klal Yisrael, be it the Mishkan in its various locations or the Beis HaMikdash, all of those places, again, you would bring the dirt from their floors in order to go ahead and perform the Sota process. Isi ben Menachem, or Isi ben Menachem says, and I will say, now all of that was just Isi ben Yehuda. Now Isi ben Menachem says, Eino tzarech, you do not need to go ahead and bring any kind of specific limud, any kind of specific teaching, to teach me that this halacha of bringing the dirt from the floor applies to the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Uma betuma kala lo chileka kosov. Because if the Torah does not make a distinction with what he calls Tumah Kala, but say if you take a look at Rashi says Tumah Kala, Likanes Betumas Haguf LeMikdash She'ina B'Misas Beisdin Elakaris. Now this is interesting. If you walk in to, let's say, the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, and you are Tamei, you're ritually impure, so the halach is, Rabosai, that is subject to a punishment of kares. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara calls kares a misa kala, right? It calls it a more lenient death. Now, why is kares called a misa kala? Because the interesting part about kares is, as much as kares sounds much stricter, lemaisa, again, you can do tshuva. Right, there is a way to get out of kares as opposed to misas beisdin, where once you've incurred that liability, no matter how penitent you may be, you cannot get out of it. So the Gemara says, when it comes to tumah kala, which is the prohibition of walking in to a sanctified space in a state of ritual impurity, lo chala kakosav betumas eishes ishchamura. I'm sorry, lo ma betumah kala lo chila kakosav. So we'll say, when it comes to tumah kala, entering into a sacred space in a state of ritual impurity, the Torah does not distinguish between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, then Betumas Isha Chamur L'Kol Shekin, all the more so, again, what he calls Tumas Eishes Ish, which is dealing with situations of potential adultery, which is considered to be a more Chamur Tumah L'Kol Shekin, all the more so, there's no distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and between the Mishkan. And just like in the Mishkan, the process would be that we would take the dirt from the floor and mix that in with the water, so too, again, in the Beis HaMikdash, also same process applies. We take the dirt from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash itself and mix it in with the water. If that's the case, in Cain, ma taulor bekarka ha-Mishkan. If that's the case, then what do I need the phrase bekarka ha-Mishkan from the floor of the Mishkan to teach me? Shalo yavi mitoch kupaso. Oh, what that teaches me is that the dirt for the sota process may not come from my kupa, from my box. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mk matam lor bekarka shalo yavi mitoch kupaso. Lesoch kli viyachnis lehechal. Ela mekarki osa yito. Then ain sham yavi vianiach sham. Rav says, listen to this. What does it mean, Bekarka Mishkan? Rav says, here's what's interesting. So the Tosu Shant actually points this out. He says that it used to be that people would have like a box of dirt in your house. Right? You have a box of dirt, which again, in dirt floors, sometimes if they got a little bit wet, you would have like some dry dirt just to spread out on the floor. So the Gemara is teaching me over here, I can't bring my box of dirt to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. I can't go ahead and bring my dirt. Menachem reminded me. So I can't bring my dirt from my home, ultimately, again, to the Beis HaMikdash and perform the process like that. So therefore, again, let's bring this full circle. So what happens in the event that there is no dirt in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan? What do I do in such a circumstance like that? I bring the dirt with me, and then I put it on the floor, and then I gather it back up. So again, halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, what everyone out, and this is the way the Rambam paskins as well, the way this process works is the final. The best way to do it is for the sota process. Remember, we want some dirt to be able to mix in with the water. Ideally, that dirt would come from the actual ground of the Beis HaMikdash / Mishkan. In the event that for whatever reason there is no dirt there, I could bring dirt from outside the temple confines, put it on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, that placement on the floor, quote-unquote, sanctifies it, and then I scoop it right back up. But what can't I do? I can't bring dirt from the outside and just use it without placing it on the temple floor. That is the Kohen's job? Sorry. That is the Kohen. Does that dafka have to be done? Does it have to be done by the Kohen? I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem that way. I don't know. I'm sorry? No, but the bringing it in. The placing of the floor has to be done, right? No one else can enter in there. But the bringing it in, it doesn't sound like that has to be by the Kohen. Iboy lehu, ein sham afar, mahu sheyitein ether. So we'll say an interesting shayla. So what happens in the event that there's no dirt, there's no dust? Afar literally means dust. There's no dirt. Can you use ashes? Remember, afar with an ayin is dust or dirt. Afar with an aleph are ashes. So in the event that there's no dirt, so can I go ahead and use ashes? So the Gemara says, Aliba de Beis Shammai lo tibay lecha. So according to Beis Shammai, this isn't even a kasha. De Amri lo matzinu efer shekarei afar. Because according to Beis Shammai, we never see that efer and afar are interchangeable. Ki tibay lecha. When does the question come up? Aliba de Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, de Amri matzinu efer shekarei afar. So according to Beis Hillel, we do find efer. We do find ashes that are called dirt. Now, what is this referring to? Let's say, if you look at Rashi almost right across in the Gemara, you see there's two, the Divrei HaMaaseh of Rashi is Imkei Ma Talmud Lomar. There's two dots in that Rashi. Second word online is Plukto. Listen to this. So Plukto to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, B'shechita Schulin, Ka B'Kisei Adam. The Gemara is making reference over here to Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, B'Kisei Adam. Kisei Adam is the halacha that says that when you shecht a chayo, when you go ahead and you shecht a non-domesticated animal, there's an obligation to go ahead and cover the blood. Kisei Hadam. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, so Rashi says, Alibi de Beis Hillel de Amri Efer Karoi Afar Dechsev V'lakcho L'tamei Me'afar Srefas Hachatos. So this is actually very interesting. So the Pasuk, and again, this is by Para Aduma. So the Pasuk by Para Aduma says that you will take for the Tamei Me'afar Srefas Hachatos. From the afar of the chatas that was burned. Now the truth is, the more correct way to refer to that which is left over after you burn the chatas is how, right? Is afar. That's not really afar. That's afar. Yet the Torah calls afar. The Torah calls ashes afar. So Beis Hillel says, you see from here that what? That afar and afar are interchangeable. So this comes, the first time this machlokis comes up is in Kisei Hadam. So the halacha is normally by covering the blood, you're supposed to use afar, you're supposed to use dirt. What happens if you don't have dirt? So Beis Hillel says, no problem, you can use ashes. How can you use ashes? That's not called afar. Oh, because Beis Hillel says, because we learn from Parah Aduma that what? That the Torah itself calls afar afar. Torah calls ashes dirt. Why would the Torah use that lashon? To teach me that in any situation where you need dirt and you don't have dirt, you could use, alternatively, you could use ashes. So on the other hand, Beis Shammai disagrees this, says the Gemara, according to Beis Shammai. Remember, so what's our shayla? Our shayla over here is by our sota. We don't have any dirt, but we do have ashes. So can we use ashes to put into her water? So says the Gemara, according to Beis Shammai, the answer, of course, is no. Because Beis Shammai holds that Afar and Afar are not interchangeable. But according to Beis Hillel, who holds that Afar and Afar are interchangeable, if I don't have Afar, if I don't have dirt, could I use Afar, could I use ashes? To which the Gemara says, So on one hand, I could say, look, even though Beis Hillel normally says that Afar and Afer are interchangeable, this case will be different. Why? Because by Sota, the Torah goes out of its way to what? To say that the Afar has to come Bekarko HaMishkan, which seems to be telling you, goes out of its way to teach you, that Lamaisa, again, you must use dirt. O Dilma, that's one possibility. O Dilma, Hai Bekarko HaMishkan L'chidi Isi Ben Yehuda, or L'chidi Isi Ben Menachem Yehuda Asi. Alternatively, no, that phrase Bekarka Mishkan Abose already teaches me what? Already teaches me something else. According to Isi Ben Yehuda, teaches me that the law of the dirt applies to the Mishkan as well as the Beis HaMikdash. And according to Isi Ben Menachem, teaches me that I may not bring dirt from my kupa from outside the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the Shaila. So we don't know what the answer to write. And so this is we're still left with our question. The one thing we've done is we've eliminated Beis Shammai from the equation. We recognize that this is only a question according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, again, you who are on record as saying that in situations where you require dirt but don't have dirt, ashes can become a substitute. Where does Beis Hillel learn that out from? He learns that from Para Aduma, because by Para Aduma it refers to the remains of the Para Aduma after it's been burned. As Afar Sreifa Sachatos, it refers to the ashes as dust. Therefore, Beis Hillel says, anytime you need dust or dirt, if you don't have it, you can use ashes. So can I do that by Sota as well? Tashma, Don Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Bishmal, Bishlosha Makomos, Halacha Keves Mikra. So let's listen to this. In three different places, you have a situation of a halacha l'moshe misinai that okeves literally means undermines, that undermines a pasuk. Now, what does that mean? Hatorah amra ba'afar. So the pasuk over here says ba'afar. Now, what are we talking about? This is by kisui hadam. This is by covering the blood. And what's the halacha? V'halacha b'chol davar. So we'll say, remember, the Torah, the pasuk itself teaches me that kisui hadam could only be done with dirt. But the halacha l'moshe misinai teaches me that what? That it could be done with anything. HaTorah Amra Bita'ar. So the Torah says that a Nazir may not cut his hair with a razor or may not shave his hair with a razor. V'halocha b'chol davar. And yet what? The halocha is that l'maisa, again, a Nazir can't cut his hair with anything. We learned this from also, right? Even a depilatory or anything else. So v'halocha b'chol davar. HaTorah Amra Sefer. This is by a get, by divorce. The Torah says again that the husband has to write his wife a sefer krisos, which sounds like what? That a get has to be written on parchment, sefer as parchment. But in reality, a husband could write his wife a get on any substance as long as it endures. So therefore, these are the three times the Gemara suggests that a halacha l'moshe misinai undermines a pasuk. So says the Gemara, Vim Isa Lichshov Nami Hai. So says the Gemara, and if you're correct, that the halacha is that by a sota, you don't have to use dirt, but you could use, in the event you don't have dirt, you could also use ashes. You should include that as case number four. Why? Because the Maaseh is a perfect example of where the Torah explicitly says what? Afar. And yet, we'll call it the halacha l'moshe misinai, or the tradition says that you can even go ahead and use ashes. So the Gemara says, the fact that that is not included in this list indicates to me what? That halacha l'maisa, you cannot use ashes, you can only use dirt. To which the Gemara says, no. Haitana v'shir. To which the Gemara says, let me be clear. This is not by any stretch of the imagination an exhaustive list. Meaning, again, this price is not including all of the cases where halacha l'moshe misinai undermines the pasuk. There are many other cases. So the Gemara says, okay, and therefore, again, that's the Gemara's answer. That's what the Gemara's area of saying. Even though the case of ashes by sota is left off the list, doesn't mean that it's not an exception, or doesn't mean that it's not true. To which the Gemara says, well, tell me, if you're going to tell me that there was something left off the list, what else was left off the list? Umay shir. The high shear. So we'll say, remember, once you're going to say, like this, if you're going to tell me that it's not a complete list and there are certain items left off, there's got to be more than one item left off. Because if there's only one item that's left off, then what? Then just include in the list. What you're telling me is that these are three examples, but there are many more cases. Tell me some other cases that were left off the list. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Mitzora. One of the cases that's left off is Mitzora. So Rashi points out over here again, Shir Mitzora, Betaglachas Shnia, Shutzarech Shnei Taglachas. So also remember from, we discussed this already extensively in Nazir, that the Mitzora, the person afflicted with Tzaras, has two shavings. One at the beginning of his purification process, and one at the end of the 7 days. So listen to this, says the Gemara, Disanya, Vaya B'yom HaShvi'i Yigalachas Kol Saro. So listen to this. The pasuk says that it'll be on the seventh day. Remember, this is after his 7 days of purification. He shall shave his hair. Klal. We'll say that is a general statement. It seems to include all hair. Esro show ve'ez zikano ve'ez kabose enough. Then the pasuk says his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. Prat. So we'll say that is a specific statement. Ves kol saro yigalech. And then the pasuk says, all of his hair he shall shave. So what happens? Chazar bekala. So we'll say, so what do I have over here? I have a klal uprat uklal. Within this pasuk, again, I have a general statement, a specific statement, followed by another general statement. We also remember, again, that's one of the exegetical principles. And therefore, what's the halacha? I atodan elakein aprat. But also, whenever you have a klal uprat uklal, within one pasuk or within a series of psukim, a general statement, a specific statement, followed by another general statement. So then, again, the idea is that the general statements are defined by the specifics of the specific statement. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Ma prat mefurash makom kinus sear venira. So we'll say, just like the specific statement is referring to a case of where hair is gathered on the body, refers to places where hair is gathered. Because remember, what was the example in the prat? The example of the prat was his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. So it's come down there among all of those things. The hair is gathered in one place, venira, and it's visible. Venira, afkol mokom kino sear venira. So too, what does the nazir have to shave in the second shaving? He has to shave every place where there is a gathering of hair and is visible. So ma rabbi, what does this come to include? So the Gemara says, Seir haraglayim. Well, so Seir haraglayim is a euphemism for pubic hair. That the Mitzora has to go ahead and shave the pubic hair as well. Because remember, it satisfies the criteria. It's gathered in one place, and it's visible. So my miyet, so what does it come to exclude? It's very interesting. Miyet the base hashechi, it excludes armpit hair, which also makes sense. Why? Because even though it's gathered, it's not visible. Meaning when a person is just standing in a normal fashion, it's not visible. Ooh, de kule gufe. Furthermore, what else does it exclude? It excludes shaving the rest of the hair on the body. Because we'll say the other person has hair on the rest of their body, even though, again, that hair may be visible, it's what? It's not collected, right? It's not concentrated in one particular area. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting, now, but just by the way, the Gemara just puts in here, the Hilchos, by the way, if you want to know the halacha, megaleach kidalas, we'll say it's a cute expression, we shave him like a gourd. Now, what is it? We shave him like a gourd? Everything comes off. So just interesting that even though, again, the Gzeres Shavah seems to indicate, or I should say, the Klalu Pratu Klal seems to point us in a different direction, the halacha actually is that for the second shaving, he is totally shaved. This none, because the price is, we learned in a brisa, Polo la hakif es hamitzora, when they came to shave the mitzora, ma'avir tara kol b'sara. Now, I want to be clear. Remember, as I said before, we're talking dafka about the second shaving. Everyone agrees that the first shaving that happens is a full body shaving. Everyone agrees with that. The shaila over here is, what's the status of the second shaving after the 7 days of purification of the mitzora? So now what the Gemara is saying is, as much from the klalu pratu klal, it sounds like, again, he only has to shave the part, the hair, that is both collected and visible. But nevertheless, the halacha tells us that we shave everything. When they come to shave the mitzora, they literally take a razor over his entire body. We learned at the end of that braisa. On the seventh day, we will shave him. The second shaving is just like the first. And just like the first is a full body shaving, so too the second is as well. Amar Rav Nachman, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that halacha lemaisa, there is a case that was left off this list. Because here's another example of a situation where the pasuk says one thing. The pasuk says one thing, but what? But the halacha lemoshe misinai, or the mesorah, says something different. So again, the pasuk would seem to teach me that for the second shaving of the mesorah, I only have to shave hair that is collected in one area and that is visible. But yet the mesorah teaches me, the tradition or the halacha lemoshe misinai teaches me that we shave all the hair. So you see that the list that the Gemara brought is not an all-encompassing list. If it's not an all-encompassing list, then what? Then the fact that the case of Sota was left off it, the fact that the case of Sota telling me that if you don't have Afar, you can give her Afar, that's not on it, that's not a riot, that's not correct. Because you see that the list is not all-inclusive. To which the Gemara says, no. I'm sorry, this still case doesn't belong. Kika chashiv halacha okeves mikra. Ha'okeves midirabanan. So first of all, says the Gemara, says Rav Nachman, the list of cases that we were talking about are cases where you have a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that undermines a pasuk. This, by Mitzorah, is not undermining a pasuk, it's undermining a dirabanan. What does it mean, Rabbi Osai? What the Gemara is suggesting over here is the application of klalu pratu klal is a rabbinic initiative to understand psukim. So in this case of Mitzorah, it's not that the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is undermining the pasuk, it's undermining the klalu pratu klal. That's why it's not included in this list. Rav Papa Amar, Kika Choshev Halacha Okeves Va'okeres. Furthermore, the list that we had only includes situations where the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai undermines and uproots the Pasuk. Ha'okeves U'mosefesi. But in fact, by Mitzorah, remember again, the Drusha is actually adding onto the Pasuk. Because on the Pasuk itself, I would say that's what? That what does the Mitzorah have to shave? Again, like we said before, only hair that is collected and that is visible. The halacha teaches me that he has to shave the rest of his body as well. To which the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, Hamas Nisin Mani, whose opinion is this price to reflect? Rabbi Shmalhi, the Darish Klali Uprati. So this price reflects the view of Rabbi Shmal, who darshins Klali Uprati, Klali Uprat, Kidala'as Mani, and whose opinion ultimately is reflected in the statement that the Gemara said that we shave him like a gourd. Rabbi Akivahi, the Darish Riboy Umeuti. So what I say, interesting enough, what the Gemara is suggesting is that really this is a more fundamental machlokas in terms of between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and that machlokas about what the second shaving of the Mitzorah looks like is fundamentally rooted on how you dash in the Psukim. So ultimately, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who dashes Klaluprat, or in this case, Klaluprat to Klal, and Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, dashes Ribuyim Yuti. Disanya, Vayaba Yom HaShvi, it will be on the seventh day, Yigalach, as called Saro, Riba. So we'll say, remember again, in that. So remember, we're breaking up Pater Pasuk now. It'll be on the seventh day, which was referring again to the second shaving of the Mitzorah. It'll be on the seventh day. The Nazir will shave all of his hair, Riba. We'll say that is an inclusive statement, a Riboy, because it includes, presumably, all the hair. Es Rosho, Ves Zikano, Ves Gabos Enof. He'll shave his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, Miet. But that is an exclusionary phrase. That sounds like what? It's only these items that are shaved, but the rest of the body is not. Ve'es kol saro yigalach. And then it says, again, last part of the pasuk, and all of his hair he shall cut, chazer v'riba. The Torah once again comes along and utters an inclusionary phrase. So what do you see from here? Riba umiyet v'riba. So we'll say, whenever you have a ribui, an inclusive phrase, miyet, an exclusionary phrase, and another riba, inclusionary phrase, riba hakol. It comes to include everything. My riba, so as Minabal say in this case, what does it come to include? My riba, riba de kule gufe. Comes to teach you that for the second shaving of the Mitzorah, then what? When my son, again, he has to go ahead and shave his entire body. Umay miyet, so what does it come to exclude? Miyet seyar shebeso hachotam. So the bottom line halacha lemaisa, the Gemara is saying that the nazir, that the mitzora for the first and second shavings. Remember again, first one is done at the beginning of his purification process. Second one is done at the end of the 7 days. For both of those shavings, it's a full body shaving. But what's excluded? Because remember, both say one way or another, whether you're dashing klal upratu klal or ribui miut and ribui, there's something to be excluded. So remember again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we saw what he's excluding. According to Rabbi Akiva, what is he excluding? Hair within the nose. That lamaisa again, if the mitzora has nose hair, you don't have to go ahead and cut that hair. Rather, again, it's only the hair on the body itself. Fine. So what says now? The Gemara comes full circle. This has all been very interesting. But my havi Allah. Well, see, remember, we started with a question, right? And the question was, if we don't have dirt for the sota, can we go ahead and use ashes? Bottom line, halacha l'maisa. Am I permitted to or not? So, tashma, the amrav huna ba'ashi, amrav, im ein sham afar, maybe rakvuvis yarek umekadish. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? The halacha is in the event that there is not dirt there. So what can you bring? You can bring rakvuvis basar. So we'll say, what's rakvuvis basar? Literally, the dust of decaying vegetables. So if you have decaying vegetable dust, you can go ahead and use that. Then I'll say, umekadish. And I'll say, what you would do with that is, you would go ahead and, Rashi says, mekadish, nos no b'makom, v'amakom mekadsho, Remember, in this case over here, you would go out and you would take the king vegetable dust, place it on the floor, like we said before, because it has to be sanctified by the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you recollect it again afterwards. And Rashi points out of it, Rashi deletes this velohi. So Rashi takes out velohi, rakvuvis yareku, dahavi afar, afer lo havi afar. So Rabbosai, bottom line, the Gemara says, is that you see from here that what? That halacha lemaisa, we do not allow for the use of ashes. In the event that you don't have dirt, so halacha lemaisa, again, you could use this dust of decaying vegetables. Again, the logic behind that is what? Because since, again, the vegetables grow from the ground, and ultimately, once they decay, they become part of the ground, so they are the next best thing to dirt. So two things now come out from our sugya. Number one, halacha lemaisa, we paskin that, again, ideally, dirt should come from the actual floor of the Beis HaMikdash. In the event that you don't have dirt, for whatever the reason of the Beis HaMikdash, what can you do? You bring your dirt from outside the Beis HaMikdash, from anywhere you want, but what must happen? You must place it down on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. That sanctifies it and consecrates it for use in the Sota process. Then you recollect it up and you could use it. In the event that for some reason you don't have any dirt, so ashes, says the Gemara, will not be usable, even though, again, we paskin like Beis Hillel in other circumstances, and some situations where there's not dirt, let's say in Kisei Hadam, you can use ashes, but in this particular situation, if there's no dirt, you cannot use ashes. If there's no dirt, you use, again, the dust of decaying vegetables, says the Gemara Baiter. Kedei Shiyar Lamayim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that you have to go ahead and put in enough dirt that the dirt is visible on the water. So it says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan Shlosha Tzrichin Shiyiru. There are three things, Rabosai, that have to be visible, meaning three different processes where you're adding in, where you're introducing another substance into the process, and that substance must be visible. What are the three examples? So Afar Sota. So number one is the dirt of Sota, that when you put the dirt in the water, there has to be enough dirt that the dirt itself is visible. The Afer Para. And the ashes of the paraduma, because remember, we'll say the ashes of the paraduma are mixed in with water. So the ashes themselves must be visible in the water. The rok yevama. And about going back to our Yevama days, if their chalitza is done, so remember again, the process of chalitza is that the widow spits in the shoe of the Yavam, of the brother-in-law, of the brother of the deceased. That spit, that saliva, must be visible. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru, Af Dam Tzipor. Rabbi Shmuel added in over here, and he said it's not just these cases, but it's also Dam Tzipor. Rabbi said, what's the case of Dam Tzipor? So by Dam Tzipor, if you look at Rashi, he says, Af Dam Tzipor, Shal Metzora, Sheshachtu al Kli Cheres, Amayim Chayim, Tzarech Shalo Yitin, Mayim Elikashir, Shia Dam Tzipor, Nikar Bahem. So Sotra Bosa, this is by the Metzora. So part of the purification process of the Metzora is that you shech the bird, and you put the blood into water. The blood must be visible in the water. Okay, so my time with Rabbi Shmuel. What's Rabbi Shmuel's logic? Meaning, why does he add in Dam Tzipor, the blood of the bird for the purification process of the person afflicted with Saras, that must be visible in the water? Because the Pasuk says, V'taval osam bedam hatzipor. So this is actually very interesting. Because remember how it works by the Metzora. You take two birds. One of the birds you slaughter, you shecht, and you collect its blood in a utensil together with water. Then you have, in your other hand, what do you have? You have a live bird, and you also have the hyssop, as well as red wool. You hold those all together, you dip all of them in the mixture of the blood and the water, and you sprinkle that on the Metzora. So I'll say, so listen to this. So the Pasuk says, V'taval osam badam. You will take the live bird, right? The eight erez, so the cedar wood, the azov, the hyssop, as well as the talashani, as well as the red wool, and you'll dip it in badam atzipor, in the blood of the bird. V'tanya, we learned in Ebraisa, badam, yachol badam v'lo b'mayim. I might have thought that since the Pasuk says, you shall dip them in the blood, that means dafka the blood and not the water. Tamalor b'mayim. But yet the Pasuk also says, you shall dip it in the water. Imayim, yachal b'mayim v'lo b'dam. So when the Pasuk says water, I would have thought that perhaps they're only dipped in the water and not what? And not the blood. Tamalor b'dam. But yet the Pasuk says, in the blood. So I'll say, haketzat. So as I see here, the shayla, the issue over here is, I seem to have contradictory inferences. Here's what I know, is that I have to dip the live bird, the piece of cedar wood, the hyssop, and the red wool in something. On one hand, the Torah says I have to dip it in the blood. On the other hand, the Torah says I have to dip it in the water. So which one is it? So, haketzad.
Okay, Zod. Mevi mayim shedam tzipor nikar bahen. Oh, I bring water in which there is recognizable blood of the bird. That's how I'm able to uphold both of these ideas. Because remember, again, therefore it's considered to be as if I'm dipping into the water because the water is there, but yet there's enough blood present that the blood itself looks recognizable, and therefore it's considered as if I'm going ahead and dipping it in the blood as well. So halacha l'maisa, the Gemara suggests, you see from here, Rabbi Shmuel says that when you introduce the blood of the bird into the water for the purification of the Metzorah, the blood itself must be visible. That's why he adds in this fourth case to the Brisa's three. The kama, how much water are we using that we will ensure that what? That the blood will still be visible? Revius. So ultimately, again, it's a revius of water. So Chazal understood that a revius of water is the sheer, it's there, whereas enough water that the blood itself will still be recognizable. I have a Rabbanon, hahu legufei. So the Rabbanon say, but again, we need this pasuk to teach us the Iker Halacha, which is what? The Hachi Kamarachmana, atpil bedam ubamayim. That the pasuk is actually telling us that lemaisa, again, you have to dip the bird in the blood as well as the water. And Rashi says over here, afilu bedam ubamayim, vafilu ein nikar. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Fundamental machlokas Rabbanon Rabbi Shmuel. According to the Rabbanon do not need that the blood of the bird be recognizable in the water. So fundamental machlokas, that's why the Rabbanon, when they go ahead and they have their list of things that must be recognizable, they do not include the case of the bird, because lemaisa, again, they don't hold that way. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, holds that the blood must be recognizable in the water. So Rabbi Shmuel, imkin lechtov rachmana v'tava b'hem. Rabbi Shmuel says, well, if that's the case, that the blood does not have to be recognizable, let the pasuk just say, you'll take the live bird, together with all the other items, v'tava b'hem, and you'll dip it in them. Bidam ubamayim lamali. Why does the pasuk need to specify that you'll dip the bird in blood and in water? To which Rabbi Shmuel answers, linikar, to teach me that what? That the blood itself must be visible within the mixture. The Rabbanan say, ikas of rachmana v'tzava bahem, hava amina hailuchudei v'hailuchudei. I'll tell you why, says the Rabbanan, because had the pasuk just said that you have to take the live bird and the other items and dip it in them, I would have thought that you have two receptacles, one of blood and one of water, and you dip the bird in each of those. Therefore, again, kasav rachmana bedam ubemayim la'arvan. Therefore, the pasuk says you shall dip it in the blood and the water to teach us that they must be mixed. Now, again, remember, according to the Rabbanan, they have to be mixed, but what? The blood need not be visible. Ayv Rabbi Shma la'arvan kra. The Arvan, but according to Rabbi Shmuel again, so he says, in teaching us that it has to be mixed together, we learned that already from another pasuk. So what does this mean? So the pasuk says, "Ksiv v'shachat esat zipor ha'achos." But say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kra achrina ksiv sheshochit l'soch ha'mayim v'hari hein me'uravin me'ikara. Because the pasuk again, the pasuk says, "V'shachat esat zipor ha'achos el kli cheres al mayim chayim." We'll say, Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, will say that lamaisa, the pasuk says that you're going to go ahead and shecht the bird right into the utensil that contains the water, which tells us what? That lemaisa, again, if you're shechting the bird right into the utensil that contains the water, what's happening? It's becoming mixed right there and there. But Rabbanon, imeahu, the Rabbanon will say, if from that pasuk, hava amina lishchete samoch lemana, I would have thought that perhaps that could be interpreted in the following way. You should shecht the bird next to the utensil that has the water, v'naktinu levridin, ulekabli dama marachrino. And I would have thought, Rabbi, that I shecht the bird, the halach is I have to shecht the bird next to or on top of the utensil that has the water, but what? But then I hold the vridin. Both said the vridin in a bird are the arteries that contain the blood. So I'm not thought I shecht the bird, but I pinch the vridin closed, but I'm shechting next to the utensil of water, but then I allow it to bleed out into another utensil. Kamashlan, that is not the case. Kamashlan, that halacha lemaisa, again, kamashlan, that you have to, you allow the bird, ultimately the blood of the bird, to be collected in the utensil that has the mayim, that has the water. Fine. So I'll say, just so you should know, halacha lemaisa, in this case, we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, and namely that the blood of the bird must be recognizable in the water itself. Says the Gemara, boy mini Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, gedola umadechas asamayim, ketana venitchis mipnei hamayim mahu. So now the Gemara has an interesting question. So now that we've established that the blood has to be visible in the water, so what happens if you have a very large bird? So if you have a very large bird, you have a lot of blood, and that means that what? That the blood could go ahead and overtake the water. The water won't be visible. Or what happens on the reverse? I have a very small bird, in which case what's going to happen? There'll be very little blood, and the blood will be absorbed in the water. So Amarle, he said to him, so remember this, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera responds, Amarle, lav amin lecha, haven't I told you before? Lo safik nafshecha lebar mehilchasa. Don't try to always explore things outside of the realm of halacha. Well, so now, what does that mean? He says, "Bitzipur dirar shishiaru rabbanon ein lecha gidolo shemadeches asamayim ve'ein lecha kitana shenitches mipnei amayim." So, most remember, there was a specific bird that was used for the mitzvah process called the tzipor dirar. So that bird came in certain sizes, and Chazal understood that as long as you're using a revius of water, which is the shear you need for the water, so you'll never have to worry. There'll never be too much blood that will go ahead and obscure the water, and there'll never be too little blood that ultimately will just get swallowed up by the water. So again, Sanjur Abzera answers is, come on, you know, we know this is why we're using a specific bird so that Chazal could sidestep all of these issues. Tanur Rabbanan, so let's go a little bit weiter. So Tanur Rabbanan, Hiktim Afar L'mayim Pasal. Now this is another interesting case. What happens if, now Bosai, the normative case as described in the Mishnah, is I'm first filling up the utensil with water, and then I'm introducing the dirt afterwards. What happens, however, if I put the dirt in before the water? So the Braisa says, Hiktim afar lamayim, pasul. So the first opinion says it's pasul. Rabbi Shimon machshir. Rabbi Shimon says that it's kosher. So my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says by para aduma, v'lokhu latame me afar sreifas hachatos. Because the pasuk says, "You shall take for the tamei, literally from the dust of the burning of the chatas, of the dust of the para aduma." V'tanya Amar Reb Shimon v'chi afarhu. Now, so Reb Shimon says, but is that why do they call it dust? That's not dust. V'halo eferhu. That's what? That's ashes. It's ashes. Shina hakasta b'mashmo. So why does the pasuk dafka employ a different lashon? Lodun heimene gezer shava. To teach me a gezer shava. What's the gezer shava? Ne'emar kan afar. It says over here by para aduma afar. V'ne'emar lahalon afar. And it says by sota that you have to take afar. You have to take dust as well. Malahalon afar agabi ma'im. Just like by sota, the water has to be there first, and then the dirt is only introduced afterwards. Afkan afar agabi ma'im. So too by para aduma rabos, when you create the mixture, the water must be there first, and then what? The ash is introduced afterwards. Umakan hektim afar lamayim kosher. And just like over here, if you went ahead and you put the dirt before the water, it is kosher. Af lahalon hiktim afra lamayim kosher. So too over there, if you put the dirt before the water, it is kosher. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. V'hasam minalan. Now, Bosse, so this is Shita's Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says there's a gezer shava between sota and para aduma. And that gezer shava teaches me two things. That gezer shava teaches me that number one, Offer teaches me that number one, just like sota, the offer goes on top of the water, so too by paraduma, the ashes go on top of the water. And number two, just like by sota, if you go ahead and put the ashes first, and then the water out, the dirt first, and the water afterwards, so do I paraduma, it's kosher. So Mar says, 1 second, v'hasa minalan. Right, from where do you know this halacha? By para aduma. So which the Gemara says, trei kroi ksivi. There are two psukim. Ksiv alav. So the pasuk says, again, that you will go ahead and, alma efer beresha. So we'll say, the pasuk sounds like that you will go ahead and put the water on top of the ashes of the para aduma. So what that sounds like is, the ashes go in first, water second. However, then it says, uksiv mayim chayim el keli, alma mayim beresha. So Bosai, see, here's the issue. Contradictory inferences, ultimately, again, from para aduma. On one hand, it says that you should put in, sounds like you should put in the dust first or the ashes first. Then it also sounds like you should put in the water first. So which one is it? Ha-ketzad, ratza zenosein, ratza zenosein. Rabbi Shmuel says, you see from here that's what? That by para aduma, you have a choice. You want to put in the ashes first, you can put in the ashes first. You want to put in the water first, you can put in the water first. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel suggests, therefore the gzer shava of afar teaches us that just like by para aduma, you have a choice as to which one to put in first, so too by what? So too by... So too, you have the choice as well. V'rabbanon, I, the Rabbanon, will say the following. So V'rabbanon, El Keli, so the pasuk says you shall put it into the utensil. dafka. Meaning, again, so that Rabbana understand that El Kelly teaches me that's what? That Lamaisa, the water must be placed in there first. Alav, what does it mean when it says that the water is placed on it? La'arvan. That teaches me that, again, everything has to be mixed together. Ve'ima alav dafka. So why don't you say that the word alav comes to teach me explicitly that no, that first you put the ashes in and then the water afterwards? To which the Gemara says, El Kelly shetei chiyusan bekli. To which the Gemara says, because El Kelly teaches me that what? That they have, literally, if you look at Rashi, El Lameimar shiyehei chiyusan bekli, shelo yitol min amayon bekli acher, v'itin l'soch So both like Kelly, I should say El Kelly teaches me that Alocha Lamaisa, you can't draw the water, whether this is for Paraduma or for Sota, with another utensil and then transfer it into the Klisharis utensil. Rather, the water must be drawn with the Klisharis utensil itself. The Gemara says, Mematsinu Bekomako, Machshir Lamala, Afkan Machshir Lamala. Rabosa, therefore, the Gemara says this, what's called the Mematsinu. Mematsinu means you create a common denominator. What's the common denominator? The Rabosa, in most cases, the item that ultimately is the Machshir, or I should say the additive item that ultimately affects the process, that is usually placed on top. So in this case over here, again, what is it that allows for the Para Aduma process to take place? It's the ashes. Therefore, again, the water goes in first, ashes go in second. So too by the Sota. What is it about the water that allows the waters to be effective? It's the dirt. Therefore, again, it's a couple of things, but one of the things is the dirt. Therefore, the water goes in first, and ultimately, again, the water goes in first and the dirt comes in second. So we'll stop over here. Just so you should know, halach lamaisa, the way we pass it is like the first opinion quoted in the Braisa, namely that the order for the sota is water first and then dirt afterwards, as was stated in the Mishnah. And if one went ahead and changed the order, actually, again, the process is possible. Now, when we say the process is possible, it's not the biggest deal in the world. What do you have to do? You pour that out and you start again, water first, and then ultimately, again, ashes afterwards. By Paraduma, interestingly enough, By Paraduma, there is still this fundamental machlokes, but Lamaisa, again, although the Rabbanan seems to paskin also that in Paraduma also the water has to come first and the ashes afterwards, by Sotel, the Divrei HaKol, water first, dirt afterwards. All right, the boss, we'll stop over for today. Let me have to pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. What do you need to look? Oh.
See? I think we can do it.
Saying good.